swimming like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 20. 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort.
Well, thank you for coming to the Shrimp Tank, brought to you live at Business Radio X, where we interview the best and brightest business owners in the state of Georgia about the do's and don'ts of starting, growing, and creating a successful business. The Shrimp Tank also brings you live pitches of new business ideas from young entrepreneurs across the state of Georgia in front of a panel of business owners to see whether these owners will sink or swim. My name is Lee Heisman. I'm here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, the executive director of the Shore KSU Entrepreneurship Center. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you, Lee?
Excellent.
I'm good. Pumped.
I'm good to be in the driver's seat with you.
Yes, I am glad that you're in the driver's seat, and we have a great entrepreneur and a great student. So what's there not to be excited about?
Today is a technology episode. We have an entrepreneur that owns a technology business. We'll bring him on the show shortly. We also have a student that, when graduating in December, will be in the technology field. So I'm feeling very techy today.
You're feeling techie?
I am.
I'm starting to feel outclassed.
Fair. So. Well, you know, all I'm going to say to you is very simply, hold the door.
Hodor.
I love that you don't even watch the show.
I don't.
I love that you have no idea what that means. I
have no idea.
I love in
but
the green room.
It made me
room.
Feel cool saying
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's spectacular. And I think all the people back listening right now know what we're talking about. And the poor people that have not seen the episode, goodness gracious, they now know what's coming. So, you know, I was reading an article recently. Did you know that the U.S. is basically at full employment right now, Chris?
I did not know that.
So that's what I've heard. I've read an article. They're basically at full employment. We are adding 200,000 new jobs every single month to our economy. So, you know, as the school at KSU, you can say, hey, if you graduate from my school, I can pretty much assure you a job.
Well, absolutely. Well, my entrepreneurial students are going to get jobs anyway, because people who think like an entrepreneur tend to make more money, have better relationships, and are happier than their peers.
Well, you know, as you are completing all of the work that you need to get that degree, that's kind of an area you've been focusing on recently,
oh, absolutely.
Correct?
Yes.
You need to show that the education and the time they put in with you at the school is going to turn into jobs.
Yep, absolutely.
What are you focusing on right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, so we are still working on getting approval for that entrepreneurship major, and the at-risk student is the one not prepared for this entrepreneurial age. Because, you know, the students that we have today, 5 years from today, we don't know exactly what kind of jobs will even exist that they'll be in high demand.
You know,
so
what's really
rate of change is that quick.
What's really important, and people think of your entrepreneurship center, they think, I graduate, I have to own a business. And I know, as we've talked with a lot of the different counties that we're working with and a lot of the other entrepreneurs in the area, your school isn't about someone coming out of school and owning a business. It's about them owning their respective position within a business.
Yeah, and having an ownership mindset when you take on a position, right? Somebody who can think that, hey, I'm not here to extract as much value from the employer. I get paid for the value that I provide. So I only get paid if I serve others and solve problems. I'm not entitled to anything. I have to break entitlement and sacrifice today to create a better tomorrow. Students with that kind of mindset, we can train them the right skill set.
That's true. You know, I've listened to you say that enough, and I know your student here has listened to you repetitively say that.
Yes, he is listening very, very intently at my wisdom that I'm dropping. In fact, I think his toes hurt because I just dropped so much knowledge.
Ouch.
You can't tell me you don't like that one, Wesley. Come on. Come on. That was good, right?
I mean,
come on.
Yes, simply because
yes?
You know I wear those funky toe shoes, so it hurts extra.
Well, welcome Wesley McCormick to the show. Wesley, I'm going to say something real quick to Chris and see what his response is, because there is a very big event coming up in June. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say three words, International Entrepreneurship Institute. And I'll leave it at that.
Absolutely. That is a lot of syllables. But we take the best educators in the world, and we spend a week together, all the way from kindergarten to post-secondary. And we take the best practices of the best educators and talk about how do we change students' lives using entrepreneurship. And it's a sort of a strange thought to some people, like why would third grade teachers be focused on entrepreneurship? But it's been proven that you take that one third grader with ADD and you put him in charge of a school store, they change and they start looking at themselves differently. And because of that, other people start viewing them differently. And you see a different side of that kid and get better results out of that kid.
So you're starting this at the elementary level with school stores.
All the way down. Kindergarten, all the way up to post-secondary. Not only just school stores, but what activities can we do to make this kid better, right? And give them a little bit of a sense of purpose and a different type of mindset versus teaching them to fill out Scantron bubbles.
Very true. And, you know, I have to give a little shout out to Cherokee County. We were very fortunate to go up there and work with them and their entire administration. They're sending, what, 8, 9 teachers?
They are. Yeah, absolutely. They've really embraced that. And we have a Cherokee County alum.
I don't know
is the technically correct?
I don't know. I am.
From Cherokee County.
Woodstock High School graduate.
Woodstock.
Oh, Weedstock High School. Excellent, Wesley. I like that. Well done.
Yes. It has that reputation.
It does have that reputation. Don't know how I heard that. But to that point, Chris, you know, Cherokee really stood up. You saw Dr. Weir come to your event at the KSU
absolutely.
100. And, you know, we have indirectly committed to them. In addition to going out to your summer trip, we're going to be trying to make that a focal hub of your education
Very
in the future.
So. Yep, absolutely. That way I get that pipeline from all the way from elementary through middle through high school. And then where do all these great students end up? Kennesaw State. That's
Solid.
The goal.
Well, you know, a big topic today, and we started a little bit about our economy, and last 2 weeks ago when we had Chris Kolarich on, we talked about that bubble. We talked about that foam that comes up in the coffee, and we think it's in the economy today, and we talked about where that might not last.
Yeah, that was an interesting word. I loved your analogy of that.
Okay, fair.
That was
I appreciate
good.
That. That was really.
You didn't even say what the word is. You're letting
the listeners who have
not heard that. You're creating that tension. They're like, give it to me.
The froth.
Very
yes.
good.
It's almost like
have
my
you heard that term. Was it? Are you a froth?
I've been to a coffee shop before.
Froth equated to the economy.
Oh,
it's not really it's substantive, and it's not going to last a long time. Well, you know, to
Makes
that
sense.
Point, we talked about, you know, how the economy is going to affect entrepreneurship, how a lot of people these days, a lot of money is rolling through the economy right now. We're having a lot of success. And because we're talking about our tech show today, I'm going to jump into something that I have had a lot of experience with personally. I've heard from a lot of other business owners. Have you heard the term ransomware, Chris?
Ransomware. Only exposed to that term recently.
From a friend of yours, and I think
from
a previous
somebody
guest.
Actually a previous guest and a great entrepreneur who had that as an issue, which I was never exposed to that issue before, but he was a victim of it.
So ransomware is when your computers, your servers, your technology get hacked and hijacked.
Mm-hmm.
They get hacked with sometimes something called a CryptoLocker is a particular brand of ransomware, and it's encrypted and you cannot function anymore. So people have to pay that $5,000, $10,000, or $15,000 and hope it gets unlocked if they're lucky. The thing that most business owners are not familiar with and what they don't consider is how much downtime do they have and what can they do to help themselves. And these things are almost impenetrable. So they're just dependent on the crypto locker and the people that infect their system to pay the fee. So what can people do? And, you know, now's the time to introduce our first guest because I'll let him jump in and talk about some things that he's helped clients with. Very, very happy to welcome Judd Eigler to the show. Judd with Savant.
Hey, glad to be on the show.
Hey, Judd, how you doing?
Good. Thanks
for
having me on.
Judd, you know, we talk about ransomware. We talk about business owners. You know, they say I'm stuck with I can't get on my server, I can't work, and do
sure.
I pay this money? What are the things that you recommend to business owners, other than calling you, of course, for help?
Sure.
But what do you recommend to business owners in that situation?
One of the biggest things that we see is that when we're with the clients that we work with is that people, there's a lot of times there's nobody even watching the backups. So you get into these situations where they think some guy somewhere, whether it's their tech support guy, whether it's a person dedicated on site, is watching the backups. And if you are not doing daily backups, you're going to have a hard time recovering from that. You can usually see where the point where it came in the file that it originated from, we can see. But still, once it gets to the point, because it happens so slowly and gradual, people don't start feeling the effects until it really hits big pieces of the server or their own machine.
So please clarify for me, when you get hit with some type of ransomware, should someone even waste their time trying to uncrack the code and decrypt it?
100% not, because they're not only encrypted 256-bit AES encryption, but also those keys are encrypted. So there's like no way in years and years and years you'd ever be able to crack those keys. So it's a waste of time trying to crack it.
So it sounds like not only do you need to have good quality backups, because you can roll back to those backups, but what about educating your staff? What about antivirus, anti-spyware? How does this type of infection get into an office?
Great question. So one of the things is, you know, you don't really want to rely on your staff to handle the problem. One of the things you want to do is make sure you have a good firewall in place, an enterprise-class firewall that's blocking the things that come in the door that create it, which are files like executables. The only thing you can really, inform the user of, the end user that at a company or wherever they're working, is just that they, if they see something come in, an attachment, you know, which you would think is common sense for people not to open attachments now, as many viruses as there's been, you know, people will still do it. They'll see a .php file attachment, they'll just open it. And you're like, I mean, those kind of things, it's good to have a talk with people of, if you don't know this person, even if you do know this person, and you see an attachment come through that you feel any suspicion where it's not a regular document, to call them and find out if it's something they really sent.
So with your clients, do you train them on email behaviors, how to operate within their systems?
We do, 100%. We train them on looking for documents that come through, as far as anything from phishing emails to attachments that just look fishy. The other thing we do is we implement spam filters with all of our clients, so that it's picking those kind of emails off from the spam servers that they're originating from. We do that proactively.
No, that's fair. And you know, what business owners can't control is when you get hit with a crypto locker, when you get hit with a ransomware, there's nothing you can do. But what you can do is you can control in the future how well you are prepared. And that's where you use a professional firm, and that's where you do a lot of proactive activity. So, Judd, where did you get this background? You know, tell us a little about your background, how you got into the business. You know, if I'm incorrect, you did work for someone as an IT specialist, and then you made the leap. And this is the stuff that, you know, the students who want to be entrepreneurs, the students that might want to open up a business, or even the young entrepreneurs out there that have it in their sight line. What made you jump from being a technician to saying, I want to open a business?
One of the things that I saw in the different businesses that I worked for, which were about over probably a 10-year period, two or three businesses that I really kind of didn't like, and I saw that there was a big need for, was just the, you know, before the whole managed services thing came out, there was break fix, which is basically like, you have a problem, you call us, we try to fix it. The problem was that over time, people would see, for whatever reason, whether they created it or whether it wasn't fixed by the technician correctly or whatever the reason was, they would see repetitive problems. And so then it creates a situation where the client's not happy because they feel like they're paying for something twice. And so I just thought, well, there's got to be a better way to do this. So I approached a gentleman about, you know, who I'd worked for, just about starting an IT company, and just saying, hey, there's got to be a better way to do this. You see it, I see it. Maybe we can move forward and have some ideas on how we could do this. And then we started brainstorming, and that's where we got it. But you know, I think one of the biggest things with starting that business was I had to know kind of the ins and outs of what people liked and what they didn't like to find a need to see what I could solve.
So like Hair Club for Men, you didn't want to just be the man that did it. You wanted to be a client too.
Right. I mean, it wasn't until I lost all my hair on my body was I able to get the, yeah.
Fair. Exactly. That's a shout out to Donnie. Excellent. Right. I like that. Well done.
But you know, exactly. like there's a really popular book in entrepreneurship called The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber, right? Which I know a lot of listeners are familiar with. And one of the fatal sort of assumptions that Gerber writes about is, to understand the technical work of a business does not make you prepared to own that business. That's like
correct.
The fatal sort of assumption or the fatal flaw. So you, having so much knowledge of the doing of the business, how do you transition to being an owner of a business? And how does that knowledge actually hold you back?
That's a really good question.
Chris is dirty.
I know, he's really sticking.
He's dirty, isn't he?
That's a deep question.
The biggest thing you'll find with Hanks is that he'll just find that one question that makes you think and questions yourself a lot.
Exactly. I guess to that, I would say that I realized some needs, but I also realized there's some areas that I'm not great in. And so that I think whenever you're starting a business, even if you see the overall picture of what needs to happen, there's areas that, you know, like if you're going to do it by yourself, that's one thing. It's surrounding yourself with the right people that can do the things that you can't do. But also, if you're going to pick a business partner, I think that's also holds true, that you need to find somebody that, you know, if say you're really good in the technical side, they're going to be really good at running the business side. I really looked for that and found a person that was going to work for me in that area who complemented all the things that maybe I fell short.
You even called him a gentleman earlier.
Yeah, yeah, it's
interesting.
It's rare that I call that guy a gentleman.
I don't blame you. Yes, thank you. That's very courteous of you. Guys, hey, listen, we're going to take a quick break from one of our sponsors. And Judd, we want to thank you for being our sponsor today first. And then when we come back, we're going to bring our KSU student Wesley on to ask some questions to our entrepreneur.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, boy.
In business, it's either time or money. How much money does your business lose if your network is down for a day? How much time do your employees waste trying to fix computer issues? At Savant, we have the experts that work on your network to simply make your company run more efficiently. Macs, PCs, mobile solutions, no problem. Savant's battery life never ends. Call 770-438-6240 now.
Thank you so much, Alex. And we're back live here at Business Radio X with the Shrimp Tank. You can hear us every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m., or you can always replay any of the previous episodes at shrimptankpodcast.com. My name is Lee Heisman. I'm sitting here with Chris Hanks, the Executive Director of the KSU Entrepreneurship Center. We have our guest, Judd Eigler with Savant, and I'm going to bring Wesley officially onto the show here to ask a question to our entrepreneur. And prior to that, Wesley, I was told by Chris, before we jump at Judd, I was told by Chris that, you know, when Hanks answers a question in class.
Yes.
You know, I think, what is the reason? Because he is Chris M.F.
No,
Hanks. Is that the term you use?
I don't use any such terms.
Okay, fair. Go ahead.
Let's see. What is it? How is it that Hanks answers?
Okay, I stumped Wesley. That's
you did.
Okay.
I was trying to defend myself.
Hanks knows all the answers I gave him. Yeah. Wesley is a big fan. All right, I'll give Wesley a break. Listen, I'm going to point you right at Judd. Okay. Ask him your first question, because Wesley, this is like Chuck Woolery, guys. I mentioned this earlier, and if I'm dating myself,
I have no idea who that is.
That was the Love Connection years ago, the 2 and 2. I'll be back in 2 and 2. Everybody can YouTube it real quick. Chuck Woolery was the dating game. So, you know, you are graduating in December.
I am.
Have a background in information technology. You'll be getting your degree. Judd owns a technology business. Do you think this was coincidence or by the stars? So go ahead, Wesley.
No, I think this was cooked up by certain people. I don't know who, but
I am the chef. Go ahead, Wesley.
I'll probably figure that out later. I just want to put a little bit of fun. Whenever through the ad read, it said Mac, PC. I noticed there was no Linux support.
That is a good question. We don't. There's, I guess you had to go with the highest percentage of what people are using, mm-hmm. and it is so rare that there are a couple guys that I have in house that do Linux support on the server level, but typically we don't get anybody who does, like, say, Ubuntu workstation or something like that. We just don't have anybody that asks for that ever.
Well, I figure the most common thing you'd encounter with Linux would be the server side, but all mostly Unix systems. But
sure.
I guess that's not too common. Most people roll with Windows Server.
We do have some of that. It's usually on web servers when they want really tight security on web servers, because those are probably the number one things that get hacked. And so the Linux operating system is a bit tighter.
All right. Hold on, you guys. Keep your pants on here. Look at this. This is going a little too techy today. So
and that's why I thought I'd jump in, because you know, Wesley, with your first question to this entrepreneur, you had to sort of, you know, get all techie.
I did. That's what I did.
But I know you have that background, right?
A little bit.
But you also took this amazing entrepreneurship sort of class and experience, and you come to these entrepreneurial events.
Did I?
So my question to you is, how has that made you better?
How's that made me better? I can think of an example already. After taking a few of my information systems classes, this one business owner I know and I've known through my family for a while said, "Oh, my website looks awful. Some guy kind of scammed me and making something." I looked at it, and without even thinking, I just saw that. I was like, "I'd make something better for you." And he went, "Really?" I was like, "Yeah, I'll make you something that'll be more functional for you." And I met with him this weekend. I sat down. He talked to me what all I needed, and I did some rough sketches. Even got a few of them right there. Looky there. And,
That works out really well on radio.
I know,
by the way. So that's awesome. Could you hold that up for all the listeners so that we could all view it?
Make sure everybody gets a clear view of it. That was one of the first. That's probably the most immediate thing that comes to mind. I'm just willing to more offer up my skills to help out people. And recently I found out about this software, Jeb might know about it, TeamViewer. Mm-hmm. Been told my girlfriend put on her laptop, told my sister put on her laptop because my sister's out of state, my girlfriend's going to be out of state come graduating December. So whenever they'll need support, I'll be able to help them through there.
So you're saying studying entrepreneurship has also made you a better boyfriend?
It most certainly has.
That's a 7-year relationship.
What specific way there, Wesley?
What specific way?
Yes.
Oh, man, I don't know.
Well, all I know, Wesley, when I first met you, that's a girlfriend of 7 years, and that's a lot of commitment. So, Judd, I promote that. If this man can stay in a relationship for 7 years, that's the kind of guy you want working for your company.
Yeah, loyalty. Sounds like it.
Look, I want it to be noted, I'm not the one bringing such things up.
It's fair, I know. It's all a fair point. Well, you know, getting back to you, Judd, you know, you guys, I joked initially and said this is the technology show because we have a student from tech and we have a business owner from tech. And it has gone a little bit too techy for my taste, unfortunately.
Sure. I can go back to the more common questions.
But to that point, you know, I have seen you, Judd, for years, and I know firsthand a predominance and the majority of your success is the way that you simplify things for your clients. So you're sitting in front of a technician here as you're talking to Wesley. It's very easy to dialogue about the technical side of things. Mm-hmm. But when you're dealing with clients, you are kind of like the mechanic of the computer world. You know, you drive your car into the mechanic. You have no idea what's going on. Most people don't. The man or the woman drives it in. They open the hood and they can tell you pretty much anything. And you know, I need to get this fixed. Please fix it. But that's kind of the same position that you're in. I've seen firsthand for years how you simplified and you make people understand. Is that something that comes natural? Is that something you've learned over the years? How did that come about?
Yeah, that's something that actually has evolved over the years because I think that started as you start really technical, and then you realize that people don't want to hear really technical, and then you go really basic, and then you realize that people want to hear more technical. So you kind of have to really assess the person and find out, like, is, you know, like you just give them little bait questions to see where they're at with how much they want to know, and then you kind of extrapolate from there. Does that make sense?
Very much. Very much. You know, when you jumped off the bridge into the world of entrepreneurship, Chris, and I interrupted, you might jump in, but when you jumped off the bridge into the world of entrepreneurship, what was one of the scariest things? And these are the differences, because you did work in the regular, hey, I'm working for someone. What was one of the scariest things for you personally when you jumped into your own business? Pardon me. That's for you, Judd.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking him. I apologize. The scariest thing when I jumped into my own,
Judd,
I apologize. You were looking
the question
at it. Sorry
for
about that.
You.
Yes, yes. Probably just the unknown. I had done it once before with a previous partner who bombed, and it was really just because the skill set wasn't, I mean, I don't want to throw the other person under the bus, but I think I was more committed than the other person. So it's really, you know, you really have to assess the person you're going to business with. You know, is this somebody who complements my weaknesses? Is this somebody who, you know, really wants to push through? Are they going to be around when it gets really hard and complicated? If we lose clients, are they going to be like, they're just going to run to something else really quick?
Yeah, though that's a good point because, like, you bring up the issue of, like, sort of commitment, because I think that entrepreneurship sometimes extracts a price that few of us are willing to pay, right? We want the benefits, but that commitment to staying the course, doing all the things that other people are unwilling to do is one of the reasons why there's fewer entrepreneurs and more people who work for entrepreneurs. I'm curious, too, about your journey into entrepreneurship. I find it interesting that you are 50-50 partners. And so how do you resolve disputes if everyone's equal?
Dirty question.
I'm going to guess a game of basketball.
How do you resolve disputes when you're married? Because that's really what it feels like.
When so basically, you just say, "I was wrong. I'm sorry."
Yeah,
so
that's basically been my
sort of operation model.
I imagine that's how the partner sees it.
the partner's like the wife, so you just have to agree with the partner, and it's all probably good then.
I think it's really an issue of, like, just knowing the other person over time and figuring out, you know, what motivates them, what's important to them, there's like this feeling out process of, like, okay, where are they at? You know, what do they really want to take hold of in this business? What am I going to do? And then when there's disputes, I mean, it's really just, it's sitting down, talking it out. I'm fortunate to have somebody who pretty much thinks like I do. So we don't have a lot of disputes when it comes to that. But when we do, we usually talk about it. he usually keeps talking until he convinces me, and then I just stop talking. So
that's a valid point. Let me interrupt and convince you of something real quick. But, you know, I've noticed also, Judd, you know, you're exactly correct. That mindset of working 50-50, creating a sandbox for you and your skills, creating a sandbox for you and your partner's skills, I've also seen you use that tremendously well with your managers and your employees. And I don't see that you have disputes or disagreements with your staff very often as well. Does that translate across the board?
I think what happens with us, like we recently kind of broke off into teams in the support part. We've broken off into a project team and into different teams in support. One of the things is we have a lot of meetings, and they're not just fluff meetings. They're very directional. This is what we're trying to get out of the meeting. We meet weekly on those, sometimes a couple times monthly, depending on what the meeting is about. And really, it just comes down to, look, I mean, I'm always open to change. And I think that my business partner is always open to changing anything that doesn't work. And I think that's what's great about having a small business, is that you can make changes on the fly. And it's not like this big machine you have to try to, you know, okay, now we have to try to push that down to everybody. You know, we get everybody in a room or the people that it pertains to, and then we try to make those decisions. And if, you know, if there's things that people don't agree with, we usually try to talk it out and kind of like, hey, here's my experience with that. And usually it's just talked out and we figure it out.
So pretty much your recommendation is, if you have a partner, 50-50 was a great question, Chris, as well, but finding someone that's like-minded.
Sure, 100%, and complements the things maybe you don't want to do or you're not good at.
Fair. That's very, very true. That's an excellent point. Listen, I'm going to leave it up to Wesley now. Before we take our next commercial break, Wesley's got one final question, and then we're going to come back to our Plead the Fifth section. We're actually going to skip right over.
We're skipping Hot or Not. We're going straight to...
I had questions prepared for that.
Yeah, all right, then we'll run to Hot or Not.
So we could leave, you know, it could be an exclusive Wesley Hot or Not.
So we'll go
which is a
Wesley
fun
Hot or
sentence
not.
For me to say.
People are going to be concerned about the relationship we have
at least.
Center.
And if that's you add right, the word,
probably violating some kind of student professor.
If
kind
you
of
add
right
the
now,
word "wet" in there, okay. Chris, that would be the other.
Well,
issue.
Now you just made it creepy.
Sorry, but, that's okay. I live in creepy Wesley. Go with your question. We'll get a commercial break. Then we'll come back with Wesley's Hot or Not. And I just want to see Hanks take the gloves off with Plead the Fifth.
I'll keep it with the theme of kind of being techy. How do you, let's say a company needs a new piece of technology, how do you convince them that they really need this new piece?
Sure. So it really depends on what it is. So for example, let's take just if they have, like the main thing they use is this one database that they put all their information in. Usually you can show somebody, I mean, first of all, they're usually already feeling the pain. So they just want the answer to what's going to get me out of this pain. And then if you can show them, like on the database side, like, do you realize you have all these really extremely slow hard drives in your, you know, network attached storage or whatever, and that's what's causing the problem? People are pretty, they just want an answer. So right. If you tell them the answer, then they usually want like three solutions, you know, what's going to cost nothing, what's going to cost a little, and what's going to cost a lot, right. And how much is each going to benefit?
Hey guys, we're going to come up with our next sponsor who sponsors our show every week, and then we'll come back with Wesley's Hot or Not, and then Hanks's Plead the Fifth.
Business Radio X interviews dozens of innovative entrepreneurs and successful leaders each week. Its mission is to help local businesses get the word out about the important work they're doing in their market, their community, and their profession. With a pro-business slant and a long-form interview format, guests don't have to worry about being ambushed or talking in sound bites. Guests have enough time to tell their whole story and to share their insights and experiences without interruption. If you would like to be a guest on Business Radio X, please check out our website, businessradiox.com. Business Radio X is earned media and there is never a fee for guests.
We're back live here at Business Radio X with the Shrimp Tank. You can hear us every Tuesday from 4 to 5. You can always jump on a previous episode at shrimptankpodcast.com. Again, my name is Lee Heisman with Chris Hanks. Our guest is Judd Eigler with Savant. And our student at KSU is Wesley McCormick. And we're coming back to the new segment called Wesley's Hot or Not. Wesley, I leave it to you. You've spent the time. You've done the research. Judd is yours for a few minutes.
All right. Let's see. First up, phone interviews. Hot or not?
Not.
Not?
Not at all.
All right.
And Judd, may I ask why real quick?
Well, let me take that back.
No, your answer has been submitted.
You've committed.
You've
wired in.
Maybe for the initial quick interview with questions. Yeah, I'm going to take that back. You don't want to get a real... I never want to get a really good read on somebody from a phone call, though. I mean, right. it's there's so much that you learn from when they're in person. You know, like, how do they dress? How do they carry themselves? How are they going to look to your client? You know, that's like a big thing. You know, it's, and you can tell that with just their mannerisms. Do they look like they're all sketched out and ready to run out the door? Are they really comfortable and make the client feel comfortable? Those kind of things. So I prefer, I mean, there's always like, I'm getting resumes, and typically my business partner does this and filters out the resumes where it looks like, hey, these are candidates. A lot of times we'll have a really quick call and just see like, hey, is this really your resume kind of thing? And then we'll ask them to come in.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to ask this because I think it's a generational question. Texting for work, like work-related information.
Like texting each other in work, or
like, so
give me an example.
I've noticed a lot of people, they'll just send emails to one another instead
sure.
of, you know, just sending a text message. So texting for work-related information, hot or not.
I think it's great, but I think instant messenger is works better because it's usually on the computer. So typically, I would say, so not hot.
Not hot.
And people usually are looking at their computer screen all day. So mm-hmm. you want something that's not just going to work on their mobile device. I would probably miss it if it was happening all the time on my, because I'm focused on work. Mm-hmm. So I want to see something that's going to pop up in my face, like instant message.
And is there also, you know, you're talking about Skype, your instant message,
sure.
there's also a record keeping of that. So when you text, there mm-hmm. is no record unless you're taking screenshots. But if you're doing any type of Skype messaging or you're doing emails, there's always an audit trail, and even your Skype can be emailed to you after the fact. So
sure, 100%.
For a business perspective, you definitely would want to do the Skype or the instant message or the email, only because you may come back to that information later.
Well, now I got to go tell all the youngsters and tell them why texting's not as fun.
Inside of work. Let's see if Mr. Hanks has something for hot or not, Chris.
Hot or not. Was Wesley's hot or not questions hot or not?
I would say mildly warm. Yeah.
No, I still have two more.
No, it's all right.
I'm curious. You got me so curious.
Yes.
As, you know,
I'm just joking.
The sort of one who takes credit for your knowledge. So I'm really curious about your hot or not questions. So what are your final? They better be good.
Okay.
Keep it
let's
going.
See. Training on the job, hot or not?
Good question. Hot, I would
hot.
Say. I think it's, I am totally under the, or think it's the best way to do it is for somebody to be training one-on-one with another person. Whether it's for their position or just, it, just the one-on-one is way better than any group training we've done. But also, we do training, online training a lot. So mm-hmm. if you were to come on into Savant as an employee, you would do a lot of online training. So you would not only get up to speed with somebody on how to use everything, like the applications we use, but also you'd be able to watch, you know, CBTs, anything online. We have like a directory that our guys go to where they have to watch certain videos to make sure they're up to speed on the way we do things.
Okay, and then I got one more that's a little more tech related, but
sure.
certs or degrees? Which one's hot, which one's not?
Now, remember, Judd, you are sitting next to KSU that provides degrees.
Right. I think degrees are great. I think I don't think you should base somebody on the degree, though, mm-hmm. just because, I mean, we've had experiences, a lot of experiences with technical schools and stuff like that where it, you would think they would be up to speed and good to go and know exactly what they're coming in for right. and not. So I think it's good if they get the right training, I guess. Okay. Is that fair?
Yeah.
So the certification and training.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I didn't really answer the question. So yeah. I think more degree than certification because okay. it shows a commitment to, you know, sticking something out and really in learning and going forward.
But Joe, would you consider the on-hand experience, the practical experience to be probably the most valuable component?
100%. It would be the practical experience.
But you can't get that practical experience unless you have a baseline of the education behind it. So it seems like it plays off each other and it builds upon each other like a house and a foundation.
Right. If they come in with no experience, it's an incredibly long ramping up process
right.
usually. So obviously the anything as far as, I mean, not that certs are bad because right. if they're training correctly, but you can also just pretty much pay somebody to take your certs,
yeah.
you know.
Okay. Well, good technical question, and we're maintaining the theme of our technology show today, which is good. Now is my favorite part of the show, and this is the, I'm going to call it the official Chris Hanks Plead the Fifth.
Wow. I did not know I get the name segment. I my name gets dropped in our opening theme song, so I didn't know I'd get my name dropped in the segment.
Well, I know it. You know it. Alex knows it. Judd doesn't know it yet. Begin the inquisition.
I knew it, to be fair.
Yes.
Should I be scared?
A little bit.
A little bit, yes.
So No, I'm curious.
And Judd, you get one plead the fifth. I apologize if I didn't clarify.
Yes, we had to explain the rules.
Is there a reason he moved closer to me when this started?
he just does that. He'll get a little close to you, and then all of a sudden.
Okay, now that's going to open up some kind of investigation type, you know, student professor thing.
Maybe there needs to be an investigation.
Wow. So, Judd, you get one plead the fifth, obviously, right. And Chris's job is to get you to plead the fifth on the first one. Go ahead, Chris.
So, on the first one, wow. So that was makes me want to change my question, but I'll lead with the one that I still had in mind, which I think is starting off kind of easier. But where do you feel that you are most vulnerable?
In my business life?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Definitely
in general.
Business. But in, and yeah.
Wherever you think you'd feel vulnerable.
I would probably have to say taking chances with people from just like, hey, I looked at the resume. We're moving forward, and just kind of taking a chance on somebody that might not have a great resume, but it seems like they have a good work history or something like that. And, you know, after we interview them, they seem to have the knowledge.
So you're saying employment.
Employment would probably be.
So when you hire someone, Judd, is the reason you feel most vulnerable? Because when you hire someone, you are granting them access to a number of networks.
100%. You're not only granting access, but you're taking a chance. You know, you're spending the time on training them and everything else. And then you don't know, are they going to stick around? They say they want to stick around. And then, because there's a lot of ramping up with ours.
So if I was going to start a competitive firm and try to take you out, is that where I would focus on? Would I focus on getting those people, like focusing on that hiring aspect? Or is there another area that I could do to outperform you?
I mean, you might as well. I mean, why not just take a hit out on me? That sounds probably well. Sounds easier.
Be very careful. He knows a few people. Yeah. Rusty being one.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
The whole life policy
former
is
guest
paid up.
Rusty.
I'll plead the fifth on that. I don't know.
Oh,
wow. So yeah. So we fight. Yep. So always proud when a guest actually.
Well, let's
does
have fun on this one. Dream car or dream vacation?
Dream car.
Of course, we know that. Marrying an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I don't see why not. Two people driven. Yep.
Most hated competitor.
Oh God! Don't say the guys that work with my internship.
I don't even know that I think that's kind of the great thing about IT in Atlanta. I mean, there's so many people out there
that you hate, right? Jeff?
No. Okay. There's just so many. There's so many businesses out there that need support. So I don't really have a hated competitor.
So you don't feel like you have that one competitor that tends to sort of frustrate you by taking that client that you really needed or wanted?
No, 100%. I mean, this, I don't want to sound like pretentious or anything.
Sound
but
that way, Judd. Go ahead.
Okay. Here at Savant. No. I would just say that they kind of do their thing and they have their process. I just think we have a really good process. I think we do a really good job. And I feel like when people, you know, when there's a need and we find it, once they see what we do, they just, they're happy that they made the switch to us.
Hmm. So if I went and talked to the people who report to you, what's the one leadership trait they would say you need to work on the most?
You are talking to them right now. I think they're all listening, Chris, so I can get a ton of emails if you want.
Probably actually look at them when I'm working at the same time while trying to answer their question. That would probably be the number one gripe. Like, hey, Judd, are you listening to me? Or no, I hear you. And then sometimes I don't really, so that would probably be the number one.
So
gripe.
Is that the number one? I'm wondering if the employees who are listening actually agree with that one as the number one.
To be fair, I see that in a lot of technical people. They won't quite look at you when they're addressing you. They'll look off because they're thinking of something, trying to answer your question.
I'm just very ADD and
well, there's that
so,
too.
Yeah, you know, that goes with that.
You're also 6'8", so it's hard to look you directly in the face anyway.
That is true,
so
too. Yeah. You got that going.
Wesley, you want to end the final
Oh, Wesley, make
fifth.
Me proud.
I have to make a plea to
yes,
fifth?
Yes, yes, because now it's your turn to show that you have, you know, sort of like this is like a final test. I can go back and do a grade change, I think.
No, I don't think you can.
I think I can retroactively do that. I'll figure out a way to do that. I'll figure it out. I think there's a way. I still have that power over you, I think.
We have about 30 seconds left, Wesley.
You
go
can
for
do
it.
It.
Do it, Wesley.
Let's see. Plead the fifth. I got put on the spot. What am I going to do?
We can do any question. Does not have to be plead the fifth.
I don't think you can plead the fifth.
Oh, it could be any question?
Any question you want.
Favorite type of beer? Because there's a lot of beer.
You're ending the segment on favorite type of beer?
Look, Savant is based out of Woodstock, and downtown Woodstock has a very good craft beer scene.
Have you been to Truck and Tap?
Are we
former student of mine?
Can I just start plugging that?
Former student of mine, Truck and Tap, downtown Woodstock.
You ever find yourself in downtown Woodstock? Visit Truck and Tap and Barrel and Barley.
Former student of mine.
Yes.
Former
wow.
student of mine.
Follow Woodstock High School
entrepreneurship
grad.
Student.
So Wesley, I will be fair to Judd. Yes. And I think what makes Judd's clients so loyal to him is they know that he is not out there getting sloshed, and he doesn't drink. Actually,
well,
so that might not be a good question. I was about to say
I'm not asking he's getting sloshed. I just asked what his favorite beer was.
I don't even think
way,
he touches
way to
it.
Keep the sort of stereotype of college students up, though. I appreciate that, Wesley, so much
welcome.
For asking about the
well,
beer.
Well, what
question.
About you, Lee? Do you have a favorite type of beer?
I actually don't drink very often either, so that's such a shame. But I will end on this note, guys, and this last one is what is the drink, and this is how limited my drinking is. Mm. It was a it comes in an iron mug. It has ginger beer with vodka and
You've gone out of my rage. I don't drink ginger
beer.
Come
on, guys. What is it? It's I have people probably yelling at me. Ginger beer. It's in an iron mug. It's got vodka in it, or it's got bourbon in it, and it's a mule. So they have a Moscow mule. I like the American mule. It's ginger beer, lime, and vodka together.
Never heard of that.
All right. Well, we are at 40 minutes here, guys. I appreciate your time today. I want to thank Chris, my co-host, Judd Eigler from Savant, coming on the show.
Thanks
thank
for
you,
asking
Judd.
Me to be here.
Wesley, you were wonderful.
Wesley,
today.
Thank you. You were great.
Super
your performance was hot. So
was
thank
it?
You so much. I appreciate
so
you coming.
Yeah, you increased at the end.
Okay. No question. So, hey guys, next week, a fellow student, Travis Allen, who owns iSchool. You won't believe what Travis does. He travels the country. He travels the country in a giant bus with his crew, representing schools all over the country, helping to promote this educational system that he has. You won't believe when you hear what he and how he does his job. Thank you so much for joining the Shrimp Tank. You can listen to every podcast on shrimptankpodcast.com. We're back here next Tuesday between 4 and 5 for our live show. Thank you.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.